Haynesfield is the only horse to defeat Blame during his Eclipse Award-winning year. And he accomplished that feat by four lengths in one of North America's most coveted stakes, the Grade One Jockey Club Gold Cup. During his career, Haynesfield won stakes at 2, 3, 4, and 5. He won at distances from 6.5 furlongs to 1.25 miles, and he earned more than $1,300,000. He was, by any measure, one of the best of his day. Haynesfield is by champion sprinter Sprightstown, whose stud fee has risen to $50,000 after, with but 4 crops of racing age, climbing to number 7 on the 2011 list of leading sires. Haynesfield is standing his first season at stud, and leading breeders Airdrie Stud and Windstar Farm will be supporting him with no less than 20 mares each. And listen to this. The breeder of record of a first crop Haynesfield graded stakes winner is a 2-year-old or 3-year-old in the USA or Canada will receive a one-time $50,000 breeder's award and a lifetime breeding right. And, furthermore, any agent booking a season through Airdrie Stud will be rewarded with a $20,000, will be awarded with $20,000 if the mare produces a graded stakes winner matching the same criteria. Haynesfield stands for $10,000 live foal and Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. The Airdrie Stallions, they are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. A kind of a chilly morning here at the Thoroughbred Center at the clocker stand. We've got a big crowd in here this morning.
Helping us out.
Helping us out.
We'd be in a hard place without our buddies, I'll tell you.
Well, that's right. Matt Howard's here, and Holly Turner, and here's Ressie, and there's the track man, that damn Harold is here. And
Betsy, yeah, that track's
we
great.
We brought our daughter Betsy in with us today, and she's sitting over here behind us. And
listening on her iPod.
Listening on her iPod.
Yeah.
And, of course, Jackie and me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole kit and caboodle.
Well, you forgot Dutcher.
Well, yeah, Dutcher's here. He's over there sitting there. Hi, Dutcher. Dutcher is 1 year old. One, ain't got a big grin on his face.
He has
a microphone in his hand.
And,
what's he, 14 months now? 15 months
15.
Now.
Oh, that's the cutest
Matt,
kid.
That's Matt Howard's cute kid, yeah.
Yeah, you were watching out the windows for me to pull up, and there he was, right there, watching and watching.
Yeah.
And with his little face smashed up against the window. It was so cute.
Don Combs showed up, and he had to go out and see Don's dog.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of dog that is.
Is that one of those?
It's Australian Shepherd.
Australian Shepherd.
They're kind of gray and black and white.
Yeah, I noticed he kind of broke. He barked with an accent.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, Lord help us.
Oh, Lord help those. Well, what are we doing today? Well, Doc and Dr. Byers, of course, and Michael Blunt, they won't be here until 10. And we're all kind of on our own. We didn't book
because of the game.
I guess because of the game. We were on early today, and it gets awful hectic around here, and it's going to be... Just in a minute, that's going to start because the track just reopened after they renovated the track. And I've already had, I think, 26, 27 works this morning.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah, but we've got help. So I'm here. Jackie, you might have to get up and pitch in, too.
I'll be glad to.
We've had a good week. Since last week's show, we've 10 horses from the Thoroughbred Center have won. And the trainers of said horses, let me give them a plug, Brian Kane, Philip Jones, he trains Jot 'em Down for Robbie Terrell.
Oh, fun.
Yeah,
that's
and
fun.
Named after the store.
Of course.
That's the second Jot 'em. There was a Jot 'em Down that raced back in the 40s, you know. And there's a picture of him in the Jot 'em Down store also.
Yeah.
So it's.
If you've not tried the Jot 'em Down, you need to go out there and get a hamburger. It's delicious.
Yeah, they make a great cheeseburger.
And a cheeseburger. Yeah, both.
Or the chicken salad sandwiches, you know. You have to eat it with a fork.
I've never had that because I can't turn away from the hamburger and cheeseburger.
That place opened in the early 30s. And I had my first ice cream cone in there. And
it's funny how some people remember, you know, weddings and stuff like that, birth of their children, and Ursel can remember his first ice cream cone.
Yeah. So well, anyway, that was Philip Jones Street and Jot 'em Down. Tommy Mills went with Just Sizzle. That's a nice horse there. That's from the first crop. It's a 3-year-old from the first crop by Jazzle. And that he can run. Tommy's done a good job with Bill Hickey, saddled the winner. So did Eduardo Caramori. Actually, his son saddled it because Eduardo's in Florida, but this one trains here.
Yeah.
That's a horse named Lightning Road. Ted Lucas saddled one. Scooter Hughes, that's Byron G. Hughes. Tommy Short saddled Calcutta, who was bred by Tommy Asbury over at Hedgewood Farm, and that coke and run. First time starter, paid $68, I believe it was. Yeah, I saw him work out here. He worked real good, and I called Ann, Tommy's wife, and told her, says that coke worked out here really nice. Tommy dropped in here a little bit later and said, he's a real small coat. And I said, did he look small out there? And I said, he looked fast.
There you go.
I didn't bet on him. Naturally.
You never do.
Sherman Mitchell won all the way up to Charlestown with Blackstone Dakota and won one yesterday. And, that was day four yesterday. And then last night, Joe Hamilton saddled a Noble Sailor to win up at Turfway. So, on the year so far, February, that's 27 winners and 10 within the last week. So, that's a pretty nice start. Once again, Dr. Byers and Michael Blunt are going to show up a little bit later. We're going to get a hold of Steve Moody during the first hour here. Do you hear me, Ressie?
Yeah.
We're going to, during the first hour, he's going to give us the winner of the Risen Star Stakes down at the fairgrounds. Good race. Of course, it's running the Fountain of Youth tomorrow. But he was going to start, go back to doing the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, starting with Keeneland.
Oh, okay.
Right now, he's doing the Handicapper Sheet for the fairgrounds, and you can buy that online. So anyway, and if we have time, we're going to read something on Joe Palmer, and I got one more 2-year-old to do, 1958, and that's a nice filly named Dark Vintage. And then I've got something here on starting on the 3-year-olds in 1958, and of course the champion 3-year-old, although he didn't race after the Belmont Stakes, was Tim Tam. And we'll look at Tim Tam and maybe Nadir, who was bred by Claiborne Farm. I raced for Claiborne Farm, Moody Jolly training. And let's see, Jackie, how are we doing out here? We got any workers going yet? Nothing yet?
We got a couple we're waiting on.
Got a couple you're waiting on? Okay. If you need Jackie up there, Holly, just give us a call.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And don't let anybody fall off while you have to leave us. She's the EMS here. do you want to start on some announcements?
Sure.
All right.
I sure will. Next membership meeting of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club is Wednesday, March 21st at the Red Mile. The speaker is Martin Adams. He's a doctor.
Of what?
I don't know. He may be a doctor. Oh, he's an equine nutritionist. There you go. And he is going to talk about preventing development orthopedic disease. I wonder if that is no, that's not the same thing. Pithecytis got its own name. Anyway, he'll be there. Registration 6:15 at the Red Mile. You can register up to 5 o'clock on March 15th. And there you are. If you're interested, register online at www.ktfmc.org. The 29th Annual Fayette County Farm Bureau Farm Equipment Consignment Auction. Wow, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 adjectives for one noun. Fayette County Farm Bureau Farm Equipment Consignment Auction, Saturday, March 17th, that's St. Patty's Day. It starts at 9:30 a.m., open to the public. It's at the horse park. At the main entrance, you see them all set up there under tents and some not. It's $5 to park. They've got all kind of farm equipment, lawn and garden equipment.
Free Guinness.
You can take your stuff out, Gesundheit over there. The funny part is no fuel tanks, tobacco sticks, float trays, camper tops, or junk.
Darn.
Darn. I was going to unload a few things. You know. Anyway, one of the auctioneers is Tom Biederman, our buddy. So, if you want to participate to sell stuff, you need to get a hold of the Fayette County Farm Bureau, and they will talk to you about it. You have to take your stuff in Thursday the 15th, Friday the 16th, of course, 9 to 5. Can't bring anything in the day of the sale. They're going to be all set up, and there you are.
Can I say something about our good friends at Hopewell Insurance?
Absolutely.
Wonderful people down in Paris, and this is not commercial now. This is our house.
It's a testimonial.
Our house was struck by lightning Thursday night, about 9 o'clock. I just got through shaving and everything went blank. I thought, oh my God, the mirror couldn't stand it anymore.
I've gone blind.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so the next morning we were having some odd things happen with the lights.
Yeah, it wasn't
house.
A ghost.
And yeah, we're not hainted. Anyway, I called our friends over there at Ted McLean over at Hopewell Insurance, and they had the electrician there from Linville Electric. They were there
right after lunch.
Right there on the job, and we've got bad news. We're going to have to rewire the whole darn house.
Yeah, they say it's a big job.
So the people at Linville called, talked to the insurance company, and the best thing about this was, Linville Electric has been in Paris now for about 50 years or something, maybe 40, because he said, Mr. Linville asked me, oh, who do you have your insurance with? And I said, with Hopewell Insurance, Joe and Ted McLean over there. He says, well, me too. Well, boy, now that's a great arrangement right there, you know. So we had it wasn't with a half an hour later that we had an adjuster call.
They were on it.
They were on it right away, and they're going to start working on the house Monday morning. In the meantime, they showed us what circuits to set, and they checked all the circuits.
Yeah, we're on half power.
Ursula
said, I don't care what's on, but that TV is going to be on at noon. Go Cats. So.
Yeah. Anyway, those are wonderful people to do business with over at Hopewell Insurance.
I know. They had that all straightened out in 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just amazing.
Not only the adjuster called, but the insurance company called.
The insurance company called, and one of their guys was on vacation. They substituted another guy, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I mean, it just got done. I want to thank
they've always been a sponsor of this show, and this is the first time we've really had to call on them, other than a couple of minor automobile accidents. There goes the clockers come. All right. Well, February 20 at Oak Lawn, Secret Circle of 3 Ocoba Eddington won the second division of the Grade 3 $250,000 Southwest Stakes. That's a major stepping stone to the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. A Secret Circle ran his half of the Southwest in time a full second faster than the first division, which was won by Castaway, who's the son of Street Sense. An impressive second in the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at Santa Anita in his first start as a three-year-old this year, Secret Colt was undefeated at 2, winning that year the Sentence Jet Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint Stakes course at Churchill Downs and the Jack Goodman Stakes at Santa Anita. He's a colt to watch in the future stakes along the Derby Trail. Eddington has sired stakes winners at nearly every major track in North America, and I can testify personally to that, including black type earners at Churchill Downs, at Santa Anita, Louisiana Downs, Oaklawn, and in Canada. Eddington won Grade 1 stakes, never off the board in 17 career starts, earned over $1,216,000. The son of Unbridled, Eddington stands at Claiborne Farm for $5,000, due in a foal, stands in nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Van's has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, last Saturday, the law with $75,000 John B. Campbell handicap was won by Jiminator. 6-year-old horse, he's by Broken Vow. Now, Jiminator's a typical Broken Vow. He's game, he's durable, and he's classy. And one of his previous wins came last year in the Grade 3 Fred W. Hooper Stakes down at Calder. In fact, Jiminator was one of 23 2011 stakes horses by Broken Vow, a list which includes the multiple Grade 1 stakes winner Sassy Image, Broken Vow's fourth Grade 1 stakes winner. He was also the sire of 19 2-year-old winners. 6 of them won a place in stakes. You get an early return on your money with a Broken Vow. And that holds true in the sales arena where his yearling sold for up to $440,000 and his 2-year-olds for up to $375,000. Broken Vow stands at Pin Oak Stud for $25,000 live foal. Also at Pin Oak are the stallions Bob and John. He's by Seeking the Gold, Cowboy Cow by Giant's Causeway, and Sky Classic by Nijinsky II. Bob and John, a top 5 freshman sire in 2011 by number of winners, stands for $7,500 live foal. The first foal is by millionaire Cowboy Cowley Yearlings. He also stands for $7,500 live foal. An Eclipse Award winner, Sky Classic, he sired 59 stakes winners. He stands for $10,000 live foal. Inquiries to Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Right, Jackie, we got Arthur heading down that highway. Go ahead.
Thoroughbred Farm Manager is looking to increase their club membership. They want to get the younger kids. You know, they've always been such a force in the industry. It's a great way to disseminate information. They have great speakers. They put out things about who's low on colostrum and all kind of stuff, and it really, really, really helps to belong because they're the first to know about any diseases or any problems that come up, and they have that great farm manager's directory, and that's a Bible. You can go to it and find anybody's name, and it's some way to get a hold of people, and then they send out all those good emails. They have a great newsletter every month.
You don't have to be... If you just do business with people in horse business, you know,
yeah,
a lot of insurance salesmen and things like that, you meet a lot of people there, too.
That's the point.
Good,
yeah.
It's good business. So
yeah,
you
it's
can have
good
an
business.
Have an associate of membership.
Yeah, it's a super idea. Now, if anybody is interested, let me give you the cell phone number, 948-7321. Or ktfmc.org. That's Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club. .org.
If you hear that phone ringing in the background every now and then, that's the clocker phone. People
yeah.
call in the clocker.
Yeah, they're helping us. Thank heavens for our buddies. We're
Boy,
on
I had,
early.
I had a terrible morning. I kept losing them out here in the dark.
Well, you said the trainers couldn't find them either. How are you going to find them? They can't find them.
Well, I know, but one of us ought to know what we're doing.
Well, when you're dealing with clockers and trainers, that doesn't necessarily ring true.
Yeah, low IQ people. Okay.
Okay, here's a fun thing. There's going to be a grooming contest at the Kentucky Horse Park. It will be March 31st. It's going to be 4-H'ers, Future Farmers, Pony Clubs, any other youth groups that are interested or just come on and show up. I want to call them and see if I can volunteer our horses because they're coming out the winter and they look pretty crummy. See, you know, that's a real test of grooming skills to clean up those old birds. I mean, they're...
Well, you have fun doing it.
Yeah, thanks. Anyway, it's a lot of fun, and it's going to be... They get teams of three, they get a horse, and then they get 30 minutes to clean them up. So, that sounds like a fun thing just to go to. So, if you're interested, Sheila Forbes at the horse park. It's Forbes at UK... No. Forbes at ky.gov or 233-4305, which is a horse park. That's the best thing because you never remember numbers. I wonder what they're going to groom. You know, they've got a lot of horses at the horse park that are draft types and pony types. Now, you know, they look like old dirty rugs.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be fun.
They probably blanket them out there. They cheat.
Well, we do too, but it's the extremities that get so filthy. Okay, Horse Park's going to offer new interactive exhibits for children. It's going to be an education for kids barn. It's going to be where the old draft horse barn was. So it's going to, you know, introduce kids to horses and all that good stuff. Each day, kids 13 and under. Mare and foal show will allow the visitors to learn about a mare and a foal and all that stuff. Anyway, it's a great idea, and I hope it attracts a lot, because, tell you the truth, when they defeated that casino bill, one man in Kentucky doesn't want casinos at racetracks. He's pretty much, and it wasn't that that was going to give us casinos. That was going to let people vote. Go figure.
Well, we're not supposed to vote on anything. He's the ruler, you know.
Yeah, he's
there.
The king, and yeah. We don't get a voice.
I can't believe I've ever seen, would ever live to see the day when the state of Kentucky would do something to injure the thoroughbred business.
Yeah, one guy.
Well,
all
he's
doing
got company.
Alice Forgy Kerr voted against it, too.
Yeah, I know she
did. They said a lot of them did when they knew it was going to lose. Well, so much for aren't you holding up your end? Aren't you got the right standards? Oh, yeah, well, I can vote the wrong.
Well, we're all millionaires at it. Did you know we were millionaires?
Oh, I have to call the bank.
Yeah.
Tell them.
Yeah.
Call my credit card company.
You better call somebody else's bank.
I know. But it's just a shame. I mean, it's not that that was going to give us that. It was going to give people in the state a right to vote. And you know what that means? We're too stupid to vote. That's the next thing we'll lose. We won't be able to vote. But honest to gosh, that's pitiful.
Makes you mad.
Makes me mad.
One person doing this.
Yeah, these farms will move. These rich people here, they don't need this.
Well, the farms, the business is already moving. It's moving now.
Yeah.
It's going to New York, basically. That's, you know, back around the turn of the century, you know, going into the late 1800s and 1900s, New York was the center of racing anyway.
Yeah.
It's going to be again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I can't see how Turfway can survive.
It can't.
And, you know, it'll really hurt this place. This place, right. The training center might.
People, trainers with families, they train here. Owners like to train here because they can come see their horses.
But you got to have a place to run.
You have to have a place to run. Right now we have a full year-long circuit.
Yeah.
Keeneland, Churchill, Turfway, and Ellis Park. And when one part of that goes, horses are leaving. Yeah. They leave. That's all. I'm sorry. They'll go to Ohio. Ohio's getting casinos.
Well, they all messed up in Ohio, too. They might go to Indiana and Pennsylvania. Louisiana, we've had some nice stadiums go to Louisiana. Basically, New York is where the big-time
The big-time ones will go. The cheap ones will go to...
They follow the money.
Follow the money, and we're not going to have any.
No, racing will...
And all
Keeneland will certainly survive. And so will Churchill. They might have a shortened meet.
Shortened meet, yeah.
Yeah, but that's where we're headed.
Yeah, and all these farms,
thanks to Mr. Williams.
Yeah, David Williams from Western Kentucky, who seems to prefer Indiana casinos to Kentucky casinos.
Yes, it would seem that way.
It would seem that way. And when all these farms go, you can look for nice, cheap housing developments.
Yeah, not only that, so goes the tourism.
Oh, yeah, the tourists won't come here for cheap housing developments.
Maybe they'll go down to Western Kentucky.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Maybe they'll go to that casino in Indiana.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've vented our spleen here enough, I guess.
You want to do that? Well, and then I'll come back to me.
Okay. Well, Empire Maker was the sire of two Grade 1 stakes winners and Eclipse Award winner last year. Last week... Magical Feeling, a daughter of Empire Maker, posted her second stakes win in the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie at law. First defense is out of the Grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slew. And Honest Lady is a half-sister to Empire Maker. What's more, first defense is sired by Unbridled Song by Unbridled, the sire of Empire Maker. Now that's a sire pedigree. And first defense was a Grade 1 stakes winner with brilliant speed. Lived up to his pedigree. He won the Grade 1 4-go at Saratoga, spinning 7 furlongs in 1, 21 and 2. Won the Grade 2 Jiper 6 furlongs in 109-2. He won the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Handicap around turns. Yeah, two turns. He also sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20-4 at Belmont Park and won 22-1 at Churchill, and he broke his maiden as a 2-year-old at Belmont by 8 1/4 lengths. The first foals by this genetic masterpiece will come out running this year. He stands for $7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm, whom also of Mizzen Mass, who has 2 graded stakes winners already this year. Got a nice colt going in the Risen Star today down at the fairgrounds. Okay, Mizzen Mass stands for 12,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. All righty. Do you want to talk a little bit about my friend Tom Biederman? Dutcher, all right over there? Oh, Dutcher had a fall. Oh,
Dutcher
my.
Took a dive.
Took a dive. That happens. Tom Biederman, Biederman Brokerage and .com. Biederman Brokerage.com. Here's his phone number, 277-2030. Tom is one of the leading real estate agents, if not the leading real estate agent, around Central Kentucky here. And, of course, he is absolutely a horseman, as far as that goes, too. He's got great people working for him. Always has great listings. And I see he's sold 3 or 4 farms here just recently. And he just gets the job done. So I can recommend him highly. He's a great guy to do business with. And if you're thinking about selling your farm, give Tom a call. Or if you're looking for a farm, he's a horseman, knows what horsemen are looking for, and he can certainly help you out. That's Tom Biederman, BiedermanBrokerage.com, 277-2030. Well, Tiz now just keeps right on rolling. His most recent stakes winner is Ella Fitz, winner last Saturday, the Grade 2 Santa Maria Stakes at Santa Anita. That was a second graded stakes win for Ella Fitz. Tiz Deja Vu, standing his second season at stud at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm, won more North American graded stakes than any son of Tiz now. And he came awfully close to being his sire's 8th Grade 1 stakes winner by placing in the Grade 1 Secretariat at the classic distance of 1 1/4 miles. 3 of his graded stakes victories came at Churchill Downs and the 4th at Arlington. Major races at major tracks. Tiz Deja Vu received an exceptionally fine book of mares in his first season at stud last year, and Crestwood is pleased to renew its Tiz Deja Vu incentive program for 2012. Special consideration, and in some cases complimentary seasons to stakes winning or stakes producing mares, may be offered, and there are additional incentives available for non-qualifying mares. For details, give Phil Hager or Robert Keck a call at Crestwood Farm, 252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty, one more to go here, I think. Dutcher doing all right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's out looking at horses. Outside on the balcony out here looking at horses. Nothing like live radio, is there?
I know. It's funny.
Well, February 17th at Aqueduct Expression, a 3-year-old filly in the first. Whoops. No.
We're through.
Okay. I just keeping right on rolling. Let's do all the commercials together, and then
we'll... and then we'll be sitting here with egg on our face trying to figure out something to say.
Something to say, yeah, okay. Well, we'll turn the mic over to Dutcher. Go ahead, Jackie.
Okay, High Hope Volunteers. They had a meeting the other day. Evidently, they're going to have their meeting at the new Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, which is in back in the on the horse park. So, you know, they had one the other day. I'm going to give you Jessica Oldham Stitz's phone number because she's now the executive director of High Hope. And if you just, you know what I did one day, just for the heck of it, I didn't know that I knew anybody out there or anything. I just went out and said, I volunteer. And I wound up with preferred tailgate parking, which is a gem. Go out and volunteer for that. They give you a golf cart, and all you do is park cars and help people set up.
That's not what I hear. And I wasn't there, but I hear tales.
I know. Well, if you make friends easily, they give you drinks. And you just buzz around there in that golf cart. They give you a walkie-talkie and a golf cart, and you really think you're somebody.
She gets to wheeling, dealing with you, gets a couple of those.
And I get to eat.
champagne's in her. And,
yeah, boy.
Ran over two old ladies, and gee whiz.
Well, you know.
Two other old ladies. I
yeah, exactly. Hey, watch that. See, I'm too
Lordy.
Kind. Anyway, let me tell you, her number is 967-9444. Now, it's highhopesteeplechase.com. And they can always use volunteers. It's a lot. It's a fun day, especially when you got a golf cart and a couple of Hummers. Okay, the colostrum banks are very low. So you mayor people out there, it's time to start collecting colostrum. And all the proceeds from the colostrum goes to Central Kentucky Riding for Hope. Now, I've got one more. Oh, I want to say thanks again to Lee Clark, Clark Paint Contracting. He did such a fabulous job. This is a free commercial because it's so darn good. He did a great job, and it's going to be warming up enough. Again, people, he's going to do the front of the farm. People be interested in getting that stuff done. His number here is 333-1102. What's going on at the horse park today? It's cold today at the horse park. They're having a new home and remodeling marketplace. That's nice. And, of course, the horse exhibit is still going. That new home and remodeling is tomorrow, too. And next Tuesday and Thursday is indoor polo. Next weekend, pony club. Following weekend is the free gelding clinic. Oh, be sure to check out UrsulaEllis.com. If the house doesn't burn down, this show will be put up on the Internet on UrsulaEllis.com this afternoon. I'm going to do it, I guess, before the house burns down.
Yeah.
But this is, if I say so myself, this is a beautiful website. And how it happened, I went to Lexington Computer Clinic. And these guys, their prices are so reasonable that even I, rich millionaire horse owner that I am, could afford it. They're out in Hamburg, and they're in the Myers supermarket, and they're at the far end where it says U.S. Bank. I think it's U.S. Bank. It's a bank. And you go in that door and turn right, and there's the bank. And the next one is Lexington Computer Clinic. And you know you can take your laptop and just lay it, put it on the counter, and they'll... And if they fix it, it's like $40 or something. If you keep it there, you know, it can get up to 100 if there's a lot of stuff to do, viruses, and if it crashes.
They're very reasonable on websites, too.
They are extremely reasonable.
And do a great job. Take a look at ours.
It's a beaut.
It's so, UrsulaEllis.com.
Yeah, UrsulaEllis.com. And it's 263-7374. TOBA is having clinics again. Ownership seminar, May 3rd in Louisville. A breeding clinic, June the 1st through the 3rd, here in Lexington. And then next fall, in October, they're going to have pedigree and confirmation clinics. Let's see. Somehow, some of the horse shows at the horse park were ranked in the top 25 in the United States, and I'm not surprised. Oh, Fayette County 4-H Horse Club is going to have a tax sale March the 10th at the Fayette County Extension Office, which is across from the Red Mile, 1140 Red Mile Place, to raise money for the club. So if you want a tax deduction, you can drop stuff off to donate, or you want to reserve a table, all kind of stuff. It's a really nice thing. It's a bunch of horse-crazy kids who... have this really nice club, and it's nice to help them. Let me give you a number. I'm going to give you a number, somebody named Erin, because she's a local number. It's 227-8057, or you can call Farm Bureau out there. It's okay. Lexington Catholic's going to have a four-year equine academy. Boy, if that doesn't bump up the number of girls that want to go to that school.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, horse crazy girls. It's good. Puts boys off for 3, 4, 5 years. And when they're 11, they're going to fall in love with something. Much better to fall in love with a horse than it is whatever else there is. Race for Education scholarships and educational programs for the equine and ag industries. They're taking applications for next year. Now, most of these applications, Thoroughbred Scholarship, up to $6,000 a year, that closes on the 28th. There's others that close later. HBPA has one. That's in April. Let's see, what else is local? They have a lot of, a John Deere scholarship. That closes on the 28th, too. So, you need to get a hold of Race for Education. They're out real near Cardinal Hill in that house. As you go toward town from Cardinal Hill, they're over on the right. It's raceforeducation.org, or give them a call, 252-8648. Masters and Equestrian Park. We're blessed to have that place. It's out on Leestown, and in the winter, and right now, their indoor is open to ride Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. You have to sign up, and it's $15 an hour, $25 for two or more. You got to call Georgia. Georgia, I guess she about runs the place because you always have to call Georgia. 253-0328, or you can call the Fayette County, what would that be, Parks and Recreation.
I guess.
So you can just call their offices.
They've got a good website, too.
Yeah. So, and then, like I said, free gelding surgeries March 10th. Round up those wild things out there and haul them off on the 10th. And get it fixed. So, Sally Van, you want something fixed on your trailer, who's better to do that than Sally Van's? Give them a call.
Yeah, they do that, too.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, I didn't realize that they did repair and service on trailers and stuff like that.
No, till I got an email from one of the Hunt Club, the Hunt Woodford Hounds.
Yeah.
And they said it did a fabulous job, so I thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, February 17th at Aqueduct, did I just do that? No, I didn't. February 17th at Aqueduct, Expression, a 3-year-old filly from the first crop by Invisor, posted an impressive win in the $51,000 optional claimer there. And she was not in for the tag, incidentally. Bumped at the break, dead last at the half-mile pole. She closed from 3.5 lengths back at the 8th pole to win, displaying the same courage and will to win that her sire was noted for. This is a filly looking for a distance of ground. She'd come from off the pace to break her maiden by 7 lengths on January 11th, also at Aqueduct, with both wins at 6 furlongs. Expression is one of 14 runners from the first crop by Invisor to win a place, a list that includes the multiple stakes place colt Midnight Vader. He just won another race the other day. Horse of the Year Invisor, twice ranked number one in the world and winner of 6 consecutive Grade 1 stakes. That was an unprecedented feat. Won both the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic and the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup on his way to earnings of more than $7,804,000. One of 2 Eclipse Award winners by Candy Stripes. Invisor stands for $20,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Quill and Tack?
Yes, sir.
All righty. I've got to stop over there and pick up some worm medicine, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I saw a few bots on legs.
Yeah, it was some strong. We'll use some strong at this time.
Yeah.
We get all our stuff over at Quill and Tack in Paris, Kentucky.
Ralph, get everything fixed.
Ralph Quillen, yeah.
We got about 5 or 6 halters to, this is funny. They just scratched something that was going to work in company out of the gate because it couldn't load it.
It happens.
That happens. Anyway, we got about a half dozen halters we need fixed.
Okay.
We need to drop those off, too.
Yeah. It doesn't take them any time. They do a great job with it. Beats buying new halters because they've got a great selection of halters. They sell more halters than any other tack shop.
I know.
Probably in the world.
70 or 80,000 or something.
Well, no, but it's about 20,000. Boy.
Well, I like the other way I said it best. Anyway, they've got a special on calico, foal, and newborn halters. They're just $16.95. They're called calico because they're made from, since they're small pieces, they're made from leftovers from big halters of different colors, which is fine because as soon as you turn them out, they're all the same color. So, Quillin, Quillin.com, 987-0215.
They're in Paris. Kentucky, of course. If you're coming in the Lexington Road into Paris, it's the 3rd stop right on your left. You can't miss them. All right. Ella Fitz, we're going to get Brother Moody.
Next break.
Huh?
Next break.
Next break? Okay. I won't get...
Ella Fitz, you're going to talk about Ella Fitz. She was out here. She's nice.
Yeah, she was out here.
Yeah.
Tanya Bomita's had her out here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Well, Ella Fitz won on February 18th of the Grade 2 $200,000 Santa Maria Stakes at Santa Anita. It's just the most recent in a long list of big horses sired by Tisnow. Ella Fitz led at every pole to take the Santa Maria, her third straight stakes victory. She had won the Grade 2 Bayacor on December 4th, followed by a score in the Pasiana Handicap on July 15th. Champion sire Tisnow has sired eight Grade 1 stakes winners, two last year. One of the eight, Colonel John, his stablemate at Windstar Farm. Colonel John won the historic Grade 1 Trappers and the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby on his way to earnings of more than $1,799,000. He was equally adept on dirt, turf, or artificial, sprinted 7 furlongs in 121.2, a mile in 132.3, and he was a Grade 1 performer at 2, at 3, and again at 4. He was the number one ranked first crop weanling sire at Keeneland last November when 10 of his weanlings sold for an average of $105,900. And it stands for $15,000 due when the foal stands and nurses. And there's a 5% discount if you pay that fee by November 1. Tisnow stud fee is $75,000 due when the foal stands and nurses. He stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett. See the website at windstarfarm.com. And we're getting Mr. Moody at the next break. And he's going to give us the winner of the Risen Star Grade 2 Stakes down at the fairgrounds today. All righty, I'm going to start. I got a little time here. I'm going to do this a little. I'm going to wrap up the last two-year-old I'm going to talk about from 1958, unless somebody has a special request. And it would be Dark Vintage. And Dark Vintage was by Wine List, out of Bud Definitely by Bless Me, and bred by Mr. Tolly Young down at Creekview Farm. Of course, Creekview Farm now is owned by Coolmore. They still call it Creekview, and it's still in Bourbon County. Dark Vintage was signed 115 pounds on the Dutcher's getting tired there. He's been here since 8 o'clock this morning, I think. Anyway. She was signed 115 pounds on experimental pounds on the experimental handicap. It was the co-second weight with Kalita. The top-ranked two-year-old at Philly that year was Quill, daughter of Prince Quill. She was in with 117. And interestingly enough, Dark Vintage was the only foal of 1956 sired by Wine List, who died at Creekview in 1958. Wine List was a good racehorse. He was a foal in 1946. He was by questionnaire. He and Wine List won the Kent Stakes, won the Ecuador Handicap twice, won the Edward J. Fleming Memorial, ran second to Olympia, who was one of the fastest horses ever to step on a racetrack, in the Rose Bend, ran third in the Bluegrass Stakes right out here at Keeneland. I think that was the year Halt won it, and I believe John's Joy was second. And Wine List sired four stakes winners, all fillies. Dark Vintage, of course, who won four stakes up in Chicago. A filly named Ramadale, who won the Ashland in 1958 out at Keeneland, beating a great race mare in Bugbrush. I Say No won the Durazin Stakes up in Chicago and Delamar. She won three stakes in Chicago, the Joliet, the Miss Chicago, and the Debutante Stakes. Questionnaire by the sire of Wine List, incidentally, was a foal in 1927 by Sting. And that's the male line that traces right back to the questionnaire line, traces back to Himyar. Let's see. So Sting was by Spur. It was by King James, who was by Plaudit. And Plaudit, of course, by Himyar. Questionnaire was a top racehorse. One of Metropolitan, one of Brooklyn, one of Pomona. He won 14 stakes. Sired 24 stakes. Winner sired Free For All, who was undefeated in two, and was a sire of Rough and Tumble, of course, sired Dr. Fager. And he also sired a very nice horse named Requested. Went stud over at Spendthrift Farm back when Mr. Les Combs II was running. And Requested won the Wood and the Flamingo and the Cowden, some other stakes races. And he dead-heated with Sun Again. In the Preakness Stakes, that was the year that I believe it was Al Sab won it. Let's see. Questionnaire was sired of a really nice filly named Stefanita, who was a champion 3-year-old filly in 1943. Sired Hash, who won the Lawrence Realization, and he was a pretty good sire. He sired Miss Chemo, who won the Artful and the Cleopatra and some other stakes races. Sally McGundy raced out on the coast and won the Santa Anita Derby. And Flasco, Hash was a sire of Flasco, he won a race they called at that time the Santa Anita Maturity. It was restricted to 4-year-olds. But they stopped running that. It eventually evolved into the Stroob Stakes. Let's see, the questionnaire was also the sire of Alquest, who won the Ben L.I. Handicap 1944 for Mr. A.C. Ernst. Went to stud out there, too. Side Sweet Patootie, Alquest did, who was won the first running of the Alcibiades Stakes in 1952. Sweet Patootie did, and was champion 2-year-old filly of that year. Mail Line still is active through, of course, Holy Bull, Macho Uno, Giacomo. Well, let's get back to Dark Vintage. She was trained by a gentleman named Ed Carpenter, and she dominated the 2-year-old filly division during the summer season of 1958. Raced under the North Star Ranch colors, and that was Mr. Edward Voynow, who is from Chicago. He was an advertising executive, and his partner, Stanley Hubbard, who was from St. Paul, and he was Mr. Hubbard owned a chain of radio stations, incidentally. Voynow had raced the 1948 Arlington Handicap winner, Stud Poker, a very nice kind of a horse. Dark Vintage won her first start, won her first 6 starts, before she would pull up after every race when she was off. Never did pull up very good, so she was very unsound filly, but she kept winning. Won her first start in March down at Gulfstream Park by 3/4 length, beating Pinecrest Miss, who went on to win stakes. She was by Royal Serenade. Royal Serenade, a son of Royal Charger, stood over at Stand Station. On April the 28th, she won at Churchill Downs by 5 lengths in the mud. Sent her up to Chicago. She won the Mr. Chicago Stakes by 2.5 lengths. Johnny Heckman rode her. He rode her most all of her races. On June 11th, she took on Colson in the Juliet Stakes and won by 5, also in the mud. 4 weeks later, she won the Pollyanna Stakes up in Chicago, 2.5 lengths, over Pinecrest Miss and Indian Maid, another top filly. On July the 23rd, in the Arlington Lassie, she faced a really nice field. Kalita was in there. Kalita had won 2 stakes and was undefeated out on the West Coast. Laudy Claudie, who was coming off a win in the Fashion Stakes at Belmont Park. And also she'd won the Rosedale at Jamaica. Battleheart was in there. It was a nice race. And the maiden, Debbie Lorraine, was also. Now, Debbie Lorraine gave her stiffest competition in that field. That was just her second start. And she had a length lead in the mid-stretch, but Dark Vintage ran her down and won by 2.5 lengths. 3 weeks later, she was beaten for the first time, finished in second, got beat a length by Battleheart. And then she came out of the race sore, and they stopped on her and sent her down to Florida. But that was her last race of the year. All righty. Well, let me see. I'm going to get in touch with Mr. Moody here in just a second. But Tis Now is noted for, did I just do that one? No, Tis Now is noted for siring the big horse. Just last Saturday, Ella Fitz, a 5-year-old mare by Tis Now, won the grade 2 $200,000 Santa Maria Stakes at Santa Anita. And 2 of Tis Now's big horses, Tis Way and Tis Wonderful, stand at Spendthrift Farm. Tis Way in 2011 won the Grade 1 $750,000 Whitney Invitational and the Grade 1 $750,000 Metropolitan Handicap. His time in the Metropolitan, first run in 1891, was 1:32-4, and that was the second fastest ever recorded. Tis Now aside, 8 Grade 1 stakes winners. But the only one to win multiple Grade 1 stakes on dirt is Tisway. Retired with earnings over $1,359,000, Tisway is standing its first season stud this year. Tis Wonderful, a multiple graded stakes win, undefeated at 2, is Tis Dow's most precocious stunt at stud. In 2011, he was the sire of 13 first crop yearlings to bring $75,000 or more, so he's siring a big horse in the sales arena. Tis Wonderful stands for $12,500. Do when the foal stands and nurses, and Tis Ways fee is $25,000 do when the foal stands and nurses. Ask about breeding incentives. Just get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey, Sean Fell or Ned Toffee, the boys over at Spencery Farm. Check the website, SpenceryFarm.com.
The American...
They want to do something for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. One of my favorite people, David Schweitzer, over there. They have offices, of course, over at the Horse Park. And he wants me to announce the breeders of Kentucky bred stakes winners over the previous weekends. They ran 9 graded stakes, and Kentucky breds, excuse me, won 7 of them, plus a couple of group stakes abroad. And let's see, the grade 2 Barbara Fritchie was won by Magical Feeling, an Empire Maker filly bred by Peter Blum. The grade 2 Santa Maria Stakes went to Ella Fitz, mare by Tiz Now, and she was bred by Mineola Farm, David Houchin, and James W. Hirschman. Let's see what else we have here. The Gulfstream Park Sprint Championship Stakes winner was Force Breeze, bred by Dixiana Farm. The San Vicente Stakes, grade 2, out at Santa Anita, was bred by Mike Pegram and Paul Wheatman. No, it wasn't. Bred by Stonewall Farm Stallions, owned by Mr. Pegram and Mr. Wheatman, of course, trained by Bob Baffert, good hands there. The grade 3 Southwest Stakes winner, Castaway, was bred by Hertrich McCarthy Livestock. The other division of the Southwest Stakes Grade 3 went to Secret Circle. That's an Eddington colt, and he was bred by Wilmot Stables. The El Camino Real Derby, Grade 3 at Golden Gate. Daddy Knows Best, a 3-year-old colt by Scat Daddy, bred by Patricia Elijah Trust. The Jim's Orbit Stakes, no, it wasn't it. That was not a Kentucky bred. The Biocoa Stakes was, though. At Oaklawn, absent-minded, bred by Breland Farm and Robert and Stacy Mitchell. John B. Campbell, handicap at Laurel, Geminator, won that. He's by Broken Valve, bred by James Orr, Jr. The Phoenix Gold Cup handicap at Turf Paradise went to Derive, bred by Stuart Armstrong. The Dust Commander Stakes at Turfway. Plutonium won that, bred by Ron G. and Donna Ward, and in the February Stakes in Japan, Grade 1, Testamata won that, bred by Waterford Farm. And the Alf Heady Fort, sponsored by Altea Motor Stakes at the United Arab Atriots, Grade 2, went to Viscount Native, and it was bred by Barronstown Stud. So that's the KTA thing. I think I've got Steve Moody with me now. We'll skip the intro and go right to Steve. And Steve's going to give us the winner of the Risen Star. How you doing, Steve?
All right, Ursula.
Glad to hear it, my friend. Good race down there today.
Yeah, this is the $300,000 Grade 2 Risen Star. This is the prep for the Louisiana Derby, which is coming up, I think that's about... 5 weeks away. I know it's I think the Louisiana Derby is the same weekend as the Final Four, so they'll have plenty of folks down there for that weekend, I'm sure.
Yeah, if Kentucky goes, they will.
Hopefully, there'll be some Kentucky fans down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But field of got 2 entries. Field of 11 horses running, including the LeCompte winner. That would be Mr. Bowling, who won that race for Larry Jones. He's in part of an entry with the 1A Mark Valesky. The horse they got to beat today, Ursula, is the 7 horse shipping in from Gulfstream for Todd Fletcher, and that's El Padrino. This is a horse that's by Colt by Pulpit that has won two out of his four starts so far. Did not get beat much in the two races that he lost. He got beat just a half a length in the Remsen last fall, and then was beaten in his very first start up at Saratoga in a maiden race. So, and he was extremely impressive last time out at Gulfstream in a in an optional claimer, just eye-opening performance, put up a huge number that he earned out of that race. And if he runs back to that today, he's going to be very tough to beat. A couple other ones to take a look at, the five Z Dagger. He finished just behind Mr. Bowling in the LeCompte, and this horse is lightly raced. He's improved every time out. If he moves forward in here, I think you've got to take a look at him. And then, of course, I mentioned the entry from Larry Jones, Mr. Bowling, who won the LeCompte, and Mark Valesky, who I kind of like maybe a little better, that half of the entry. This is a Proud Citizen colt that also is improving each time out. He's going long for the first time, but these ones from Proud Citizen seem to have no problem stretching out to a route of ground. He's got the leading rider down at the fairgrounds. That's Anna Naprovnik. She'll be riding that one today for Larry Jones. So looks like it's going to be a pretty good race. Just based on, you know, what happened the last time in their last start, like I said, El Padrino is going to be very tough to beat. If he runs back to that race in Florida, they're all running for second. And obviously we'll have to see if that race that was on an off track, if he can repeat that today. But if he does, he's going to be very tough. But I'm going to give him the edge. We're going to take Z Dagger, who was a LeCompte runner-up second. And then the other half, second part of the entry, Mark Valesky third. So we'll go 7-5-1A in the Riz Star.
All right. Of course, Steve does the Kentucky Handicapper Shoot, starting back doing that in April, but he's doing fairgrounds. Now, you can get that online at brisnet.com. Isn't that right,
that's right.
Steve? Yeah, okay. And you're talking about a repeat win. What about Kentucky? They're going to be able to beat Vandy today?
Well, I think it'll be a pretty good game, Ursel. You know, we had a we went down there and 2 weeks ago and played them in Nashville, and we played really, really well the first half and had a pretty good size lead, and then they came back on us and actually took a 4-point lead with 4 minutes to go, and then we battled back to win. But they've got I think they're probably the second most talented team in the league, and you know, we can't afford to have a letdown. We, you know, we had a bit of that in the first half on Tuesday night and had to fight our way out of it, and so
yeah, you know, doggone it, I didn't get to see that second half. I couldn't stay up that late, you know. I mean, when you get up 4:30 in the morning, you're not going to stay up. I don't know. If it had been the finals of the NCAA, maybe I would have, but I just couldn't stay up. And I never did. I'm trying to look for somebody that has a copy or a tape or something of that where I could watch that second half, because it must have been a good second half. But they played terrible in the first half. Good Lord, they were getting backdoored. They were getting beat down the court, and you know, they just looked like they didn't come to play at all in that first half. So, but changed around, didn't it?
Yeah, they did. They jumped right back into it the first 5 minutes and cut the lead back to from 13 down to about 4, and then they kind of went back and forth for a while and couldn't really make another big push until about 6 minutes to go, and then they made that last push and got the lead, and then stretched it out there at the end.
So. Yeah. Well, it'll be fun to watch him today. Well, Steve, listen, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, Ursula.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right. Well, Classic winner Empire Maker sired 7 Grade 1 Stakes winners, including Eclipse Award winner Royal Delta. And just last week, he sired the winner of the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie et al. Empire Maker's most accomplished son is Pioneer of the Nile, a Grade 1 Stakes winner of over $1,634,000. In fact, Pioneer of the Nile won Grade 1 Stakes at both 2 and 3. He was also second in the Kentucky Derby. He's a classic performer with a classic pedigree, and Pioneer of the Nile's first foals are yearlings. And he stands for $15,000. Fees due when the foal stands in nurses, and he stands at Vinery, Kentucky. Your inspection is invited, and while visiting, ask about Vinery's state-of-the-art facilities and Vinery, Kentucky, and Vinery, Florida, and Vinery, New York. They stand ready to assist you in every facet of the thoroughbred industry, from the breeding shed to the winner's circle. Just give them a call, 455-9388. Ask for John Gasper or Grant Williams or Francis Rillihan or Steve Castanola, and see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studio, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
Well, Haynesfield is the only horse to defeat Blame the year that he won the Eclipse Award. And he has accomplished that feat by 4 lengths in one of North America's most coveted stakes, the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. During his career, Haynesfield won stakes at 2, 3, 4, and 5, won at distances from 6.5 furlongs to a mile and a quarter, and he earned more than $1,300,000. He was, by any measure, one of the best of his day. Haynesfield is by champion sprinter Sprightstown, whose stud fee has risen to $50,000 after, with but 4 crops of racing age, climbing to number 7 on the 2011 list of leading North American sires. Haynesfield is standing his first season at stud, and leading breeders like Airdrie Stud and Windstar Farm are supporting him with no less than 20 mares each. And listen to this, the breeder of record of a first crop Haynesfield graded stakes winner as a 2-year-old or 3-year-old in the USA or in Canada will receive a one-time $50,000 breeder's award and a lifetime breeding right. And any agent booking a season through Airdrie Stud will be rewarded with $20,000 if the mare produces a graded stakes winner matching the same criteria. Haynesfield, $10,000 in his first season at stud, at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. The Airdrie Stallions, your key to racing profit.
Run, old Molly, run! Run,
all right, well, we're starting the second hour now here at the Thoroughbred Center at the Clocker Stand. We're waiting on Dr. Doug Byer. Of course, he's a veterinarian. He's got an excuse to be late. I think it's rule number 1 when you go graduate from veterinarian school. It says, never be on time.
Exactly. Every time.
I spent half my life waiting on horse vans and veterinarians.
Uh-huh. We got 3 going a half.
Okay, we got 3 going a half.
All right.
You're on your own.
I'm on my own. All righty.
We're
Out of the gate? No, just off the pole. Three out of the half going. Look at here. 5 minutes after 10, people still breezing horses. Yeah, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? But anyway, that stakes that we were talking about down at the fairgrounds, it's got some really interesting horses in there. The Risen Star, that's a $300,000 pot. You know, we can't match that in Kentucky anymore, that's for sure. Anyway, but Mr. Bowling is by Izstan, was bred in his own by Barbary Jones, and so is Mark Valensky. He was by Proud Citizen, also bred by Barbary Jones and racing for Mr. Jones, so good luck to Barbary out there today. I've got several of my clients in there. Z Dagger, who races for the Zayat Stables, bred by Grandfather's Farm, but he's by Mizzen Mast. His colt ran a really nice race in his third start, his last start. He just got beat a fast closing head in the Grade 3 LeCompte Stakes, and that's a really nice kind of a colt. And of course, the one that let's see who else we've got from a shared property in there is a 3-year-old colt by last year's freshman sire leader, number one sire, by Scat Daddy, bred by John and Benny Bell Williams, and down in their farm down in Versailles down there. It ran third in the LeCompte, just got beat a half length for all the money. Ran a nice race in the Futurity, if I recall. Addie Keenan came from way out of it, just got beat less than 5 lengths on the artificial out there. Tiz and Expense is by Tiz now. And, of course, Tiz Mal, one of everybody's favorite horses. I mean, if you don't like that horse, you don't like horses. That's what that boils down to. All righty. My boy's coming? Yeah. Well, anyway, that's the comp stakes, and here come my two buddies coming up here right now.
It's 10 after. You might just go ahead.
Yeah, it's not 10 after, but I'll go ahead and do a set of commercials, and when they get here, we'll
talk
to the boys. Dr. Beyer and Michael Blowman. So let's go back to Claiborne Farm, where on February 20 at Oak Lawn, Secret Circle, a 3-year-old colt by Eddington won the second division of the Grade 3 $250,000 Southwest Stakes. That's a major stepping stone to the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. Now, Secret Circle ran his half of the Southwest in a time full second faster than the first division was run in, and it was won by Castaway, who was by Street Sense. An impressive second in the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at Santa Anita in his first start at 3 this year. Secret Cold was undefeated at 2. Won the Sentinel Jet Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint Stakes at Churchill Downs last fall. Won the Jack Goodman Stakes at Santa Anita. And he's a colt to watch in future stakes along the Derby Trail. Eddington is sired. Winners at nearly every major track in North America, including black type earners at Churchill, Santa Anita, Louisiana Downs, Oak Lawn, and in Canada. Eddington won Grade 1 Stakes, was never off the board in 17 career starts, and he earned over $1,216,000. A son of an unbridled, Eddington stands at Claiborne Farm for $5,000 doing a full stands and nurses. Inquiry to Bernie Sam. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Daddy knows best. Winner Monday of the Grade 3 $120,000 El Camino Real Derby is a 3-year-old colt in the first crop by Scat Daddy. Breaking from the inside, Daddy Knows Best found the 9 furlongs of the El Camino Real to his liking, stalking the early pace and coming from behind to put away the field of 10 promising 3-year-olds. Last year, he broke his maiden at Saratoga, placed in the Grade 3 Summer Stakes, and ran a game second. a game-on-game race, really, in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf at Churchill Downs. Just got beat three lengths after a rough trip. Now, Scad Daddy was the nation's leading freshman sire in 2011, and he led all sires by a number of two-year-old winners with 29. He's the sire of six first crop stakes winners, including four graded stakes winners. He's also the sire of six others to place in stakes, four of them in graded stakes, for a total of 12 stakes horses, nine graded in his first crop. Champion sire Scad Daddy, a grade one stakes winner both two and three, stands for $17,500 due on the foal stands and nurses at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only a Coolmore.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather is clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do.
All righty. I've got Michael Bloin and Dr. Doug Byers here with me. Michael just brought me in an old Blood Horse magazine with a picture of Mahmood.
What do you mean old? 1943 or so. You're already up there.
Just the other day.
Huh?
Just the other day.
It's a great magazine. It's an issue of the Blood Horse from February 6, 1943, but it'll be news to you.
I'd love to go through those things. Look at the old stud horses here. There's Hardtack.
Hardtack. $200 stud fee for Hardtack.
Well, he might about all he
over
would,
in Claiborne.
That all he about all he would demand right now. I think.
Yeah, really. I think
he's
that's
out
right.
of one horse sire. I believe he was.
But I love this. There's talking. There's complaining. Mr. Jones, the trainer of Whirlaways, complaining about weights. I mean, it's the same old deal, except for this. This is a kind of a funny little anecdote under the News or Not column by Brownie Leach.
You know who Brownie Leach was?
No.
He was publicity director for Churchill Downs.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, he was a hoot.
Well, he's got a great column here. It's very funny. It's just, this is, remember, this is 1943 in February. And
remember
it says,
well.
That's why I brought it in. I brought it in. You might ask for corrections if you remember. But anyway, there's a little note here in Brownie Leach's column. It says, not on B cards. Two motorists who used gasoline obtained on B cards to go to the races during the fall meeting at Bay Meadows lost their ration books last week, this being the first action of its kind in the San Francisco district. But the regional reinforcement attorney for the OPA, completely disregarding precedent, made a very intelligent statement, quote, the action does not mean that the OPA intends to tell motorists where they may or may not drive. If a motorist can reach the racetracks or any other amusement place with the allowance designated for personal use, it's his business.
Yeah.
You know?
Joe Palmer wrote a column about Brownie Leach, and it's a great column. I'll just read that a little bit later, I think. About a ring. He was on a train going through West Virginia, and it's dry in West Virginia, you know, and how he finagled getting a free drink. So it's really a great call.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
There's a leading broodmare sire in 1942. Man of War actually second on the list, a Schickel.
That's Sickle. No, no.
C-H-I-C-L-E.
Oh, Chickle. Okay. All right.
You said
Schickel. You said...
like Shekel.
Oh,
Betsy's singing. Come on.
Hey, Betsy.
Betsy's singing.
Oh, good. Betsy's here today because our house got struck by lightning on Thursday, and we're afraid to leave her alone at home while we leave because we're having problems with our electricity, and which there's start repairs on it. And we're insured through the Hopewell Company down in Paris. Great people. I mean, they had not only an electrician there within... just almost immediately, they had the adjuster call, the insurance company call, all taken care within about a two-hour period.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
And on Saturday, too.
Yeah. No, it was Friday.
It was Friday.
Friday. Yeah, today's Saturday.
No, I know that, but I wasn't sure exactly when the accident occurred.
It happened Thursday.
They can't fix him.
Apparently,
I can tell you that. What? We can't get insurance to cover this guy.
I know that the lightning missed its target.
Now, that's Abe Hewitt's horse, Pilot. He was a sire phalanx.
It's $400 fee.
That should be a Virginia ad there, isn't it?
Yes, it White yeah. Post Virginia. Look
White
at
Post
him.
Virginia.
Wow. It's unbelievable. Bull Lee standing for $250.
What, 1943?
Calumet.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they really hadn't started running at that time too much. You know, he was in 1934. He was 6 years old at that time, so, you know. Go ahead.
There's a horse named after you, Eternal Bull.
Yeah, Eternal Bull.
He's at High Hope Farm on Russell Cave.
That's Doug Davis's old place. They had a competition out there to name some foals by Eternal Bull, you know, and everybody want to name them after sports writers.
I love it.
Well, we've got this Betty the Bull horse now, so we'll see what they name those foals.
There you go.
There's Omaha over at Claiborne.
Yeah, he was still there before he went to the remount out in Nebraska.
Telling you. Well, there you go.
Oh, well, thank you. That's I'll go home and browse this. Look here on the back. There's Mahmood, Boojum, Firethorn.
That picture houses. Of Mahmood on the front is fabulous.
Peace, it is in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great picture. Sky Raider. He was out of, by man of war, out of Top Flight.
Sky Raider. Nice.
Yeah, but he wasn't much horse. You know, he didn't live up to either parent.
Well, expectations are everything.
You know, she was the champion.
My parents expected nothing, and that's pretty much what they got.
Well, loser of the week.
Yeah, I got my loser of the week. Oh, great racing at fairgrounds. I had a great talk. I got to meet with Governor Jones the other day, and he's got some nice horses running today in the big races down at the fairgrounds. He's got
the Risen Star. Yeah, I just talked about it a second ago.
In the Risen Star, and
both
and
by his studs.
Yes. And trained by Larry Jones, and then he's got a really nice horse in the Rachel Alexandra, this Believe You Can.
Lord of Mercy is an ad, excuse me, on Balladeer for $250. The sire of Double J and Spy Song. Ooh, go ahead.
If only we knew then what we knew now.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, this is great. So Governor Jones told me that if either of these horses win, today, he's donating 10% of the winner's purse to Old Friends.
Well, he takes care of you a little bit here and now anyway, doesn't he?
Boy, he sure does. I mean, it's amazing. And I started doing the addition and subtraction. It's like $16,000.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a serious race.
Yeah.
And it would be great if they went on to, you know, even bigger and better things. But I'm really excited. I like this Believe You Can. And I hope neither of them end up being my loser of the week.
Your loser of the week did just that.
I was thinking this horse wins, we get 10% of the winner's purse, and that's more than all my little race horses won combined. The entire career of our magnificent stable.
See, but we got railroads out there.
We might as well stay at the fairgrounds for the loser. Don't you
all
think
right. You've already handicapped your loser of the week?
Yeah. My loser of the week lost by too much last week.
Yeah.
You didn't know that's the trouble. It was a 12,500 maiden claimer, and, you know, they don't really hold that form that long. Except this one did. He had no form at all. She had no form at all. But, yeah, there's some really, really great races. Great races down at the fairgrounds, and I'm just kidding.
Which one are you going to handicap here?
Well, I'm looking for this one right here. It is
looking for one race. Yeah. Okay, which one are you doing?
It's the eighth race at the fairgrounds. It'll give you something.
Is it a stakes race?
It'll give you something to do between the Rachel Alexander.
You're not doing a stakes race.
Star.
Okay, all right.
Well, I couldn't find one that I thought was really a good loser. In it.
All right, well, give us a good loser.
Because most of them are pretty good winners. That's why they're in the stakes race. I need losers. What's the matter with you? Well, anyway, there's a horse that Malcolm Pierce trains. It's a maiden special weight at the fairgrounds. It's a mile and a 16th on the grass, and the horse's name is Unremitting. Unremitting, sorry.
Thank you.
I could hear him correcting me before he did it. It's a three-year-old horse, Ursula. You wouldn't know much about that. Anyway.
I'm looking to see if he's in this 1943 blood horse.
Yeah, really.
I think the score is 1-1 at this point.
Ursula's looking for some stakes race for 35 and over.
No, here's Mr. Healy's horse. They had me now for Fairmont, a second, and Sir Damien. What's Fairmont standing for? $500. Lordy mercy. Well, there was a lot of money back then, though.
Yeah.
43. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you.
No. I know you're intrigued by the magazine. I'm glad.
I love it.
I'm glad you appreciate it because I knew you would. Whenever I find anything that smells a little moldy and dusty, I immediately think of you.
You mean I smell moldy and dusty?
Well, I mean, you know.
I swear, I'm going to start eating some kind of foo-foo.
And, okay, Unremitting finished second last time. In a maiden special weight, going long on the grass. So mile and a 16th is a perfect distance for this colt. And breaking from the inside should be able to run a nice race and sit right behind a Swift Pace and close to get part of it. So And she should get about 8 or 9, maybe 10 to 1 on this horse. And there's a Brereton Jones horse, actually, in this race that's even a longer price than Unremitting. But I think the Brereton Jones horse has a chance of winning, and that's a horse named See Me Proud. Switches from Shane Sellers to Rosie Naprobnik. And Rosie Naprobnik and Larry Jones are eating the place up down there. I think she's ridden 4 horses for him, and she's won 3.
Ah.
So
this will stop her.
Yeah, you might be right. But anyway, I would use a couple of the other horses on top and use Unremitting underneath and hope for the best.
And hope for the best. Okay. When you see a couple of horses on top, what are you going to do?
I'm going to come with a horse named after me. It's called Dreams Cut Short. And that's pretty good. And then Tommy Amos, who's always dangerous at this level, has a horse named Mojo working with James Graham. And this horse is short, but I think he can move right ahead off a couple of weeks' layoffs.
So. You got the numbers on those things, Dan? Give us the numbers.
All right. 8 and 7 on top of the 1.
Okay. 8 and 7 on top of the 1.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Losers of the week.
Losers of the week.
Of the week. Very good. Well, what's going on out your direction?
Well, we have our big party tonight, the Seelbach Hotel, Old Friends Along the Bourbon Trail. That's a great event. And the distillers and all the people that are on the Bourbon Trail come and bring out their bourbons, and it's at the Seelbach Hotel. It costs $100, includes dinner and all the bourbon, and you get a discount on the rooms. We have a lot of great auction items, including Judge Paul Isaacs has donated a week in his Florida house that we're going to be able to auction off. We've got a limited edition Leroy Neiman artwork that lists in the art gallery for $11,000. And he signed it. And it's going to be nice. It's going to be a lot of fun.
What time do the doors open?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
And the first pour is at 6:01.
The first pour is at 6:01.
If you want to get your money's worth, show up early.
Yeah, right.
They have a great dinner. The chef has prepared all kinds of dishes with bourbon. Bourbon pork chops.
Bourbon pork chops.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, that sounds pretty good.
You know, and so
No meat, just bourbon.
Yeah.
So if you need a place to stay tonight, they're selling the rooms at half price too. So if your house is a little too cold and everything, just come on up to.
We still have heat.
It's an old hotel. It's moldy. You'll recognize
it.
That's ugly.
A little dusty.
Oh.
It's where it's the Seelbach Hotel. That's where Scott and Zelda Fitzgerald first met.
Is this Scott and
Zelda Fitzgerald? Do you know Scott Fitzgerald?
Oh, Scott Fitzgerald. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
He used to be a handicapper at Oaklawn.
Yeah. I think she liked to go to the track.
Yeah. She was a little on the screwy side, wasn't she, as well as I recall?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, she was married to him.
Yeah, well.
He was not any easy character to be married to.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a little romance. You know what that is, right? A little romance in the Seelbach Hotel. Nice history of... R-O-M-A-N-C-E. I think he stood over at Claiborne for a while.
I'm trying to think of something clever to say, and I can't come up with anything. Oh, well.
But anyway, we're going to have a great time, and there's going to be, I think we've sold over 120 tickets. And
oh, wow.
There'll be a lot of nice people there. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Very good. All righty. Well, let me take a break here, and we'll get Doc on. Yeah, Betsy wants a pen, Jackie.
Here.
What's she going to write on?
What are you going to write on, Betsy?
She's got a paper right there.
Oh,
all right.
You can write on a paper, not on your book.
Right. Not on your book, she says. All right. Well, Empire Maker was the sire of 2 Grade 1 Stakes winners and an Eclipse Award winner just last year. Last week, Magical Feeling, a daughter of Empire Maker, posted her 2nd stakes win in the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie at a law. Now, First Defense is out of the Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. And Honest Lady is a half-sister to Empire Maker. What's more, First Defense is sired by Unbridled Song, by Unbridled, the sire of Empire Maker. Now, that's a sire pedigree. And First Defense is a Grade 1 Stakes winner with brilliant speed, lived up to his pedigree. He won the Grade 1 4-go at Saratoga, sprinting 7 furlongs and won 21-2. He won the Grade 2 Jiper, 6 furlongs and 9-2. He won the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Handicap, going around 2 turns. He sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20-4 at Belmont Park and won 22-1 at Churchill. broke his maiden as a two-year-old of Belmont by 8 1/4 lengths. And his first foals, the first foals by this genetic masterpiece, will come out running this year. He stands for $7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. That's the home also of Miz and Mast, sire of two graded stakes winners already in 2012. He's got that Z Dagger, a three-year-old colt, is one of the favorites stakes of the Risen Star today down at the fairgrounds. Miz and Mast stands for $12,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, over the holidays, horses raised on Macaulay products won 5 stakes, 3 of them graded stakes. Drill, winner of the Grade 2 San Vicente, was bred by Stonewall Stallions. Castaway, winner of a division of the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes, was raised at Watercress Farm for Hertrich McCarthy Livestock. The winner of the Grade 3 El Camino Real, Daddy Knows Best, was raised by Bill Betts for breeder Patricia Elia. The Bayacoa Stakes went to Absent Minded, bred by Breland Farm and Robert and Stacy Mitchell. And the winner of the Mardi Gras Handicap at the Fairgrounds, Daisy Devine, was bred by Riley McDonald. Now, beginning on January 1, horses raised on Macaulay products have won 1 or more graded stakes every weekend for 8 consecutive weekends. This following year, which saw horses raised on Macaulay by Macaulay clients, win 110 graded stakes, 21 individual grade 1 stakes winners. The record speaks for itself. You can raise a runner on Macaulay products. Brothers, give Daryl Ward or Mike Warren a call at 873-3333. Talk to them about the Macaulays. And you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, it's all about the horse. I want to say something nice about my friend Jim Fitzgerald down in Paris, Kentucky. He owns Knock Griffin Farm. He also owns a nice farm called Harper's Island. Knock Griffin's the home place. He's had that since 1994. And, of course, Jim has raised a lot of good horses down there. He had a winner yesterday at Aqueduct, as a matter of fact. And he got a real nice colt running out on the West Coast, a stakes colt out there that Jim bred. One won at Aqueduct yesterday named Mr. Asp, I believe it was. Anyway, Jim Irish came up under Michael Osmond, John Williams over at Spendthrift, Lee Eaton, top horseman. And he's not Griffin Farms, the name of his farm, I say. He does it all down there, whatever you want. Boarding, sales prep, sales, private or public, doesn't make any difference. Rehab, he's got quality farm help. And let me give you his website. It's knockgriffinfarm.com, K-N-O-C-K-G-R-I-F-F-I-N, farm.com. And his phone number for Jim Fitzgerald is 987-8032.
I'm heading down the highway, have tears running
low. I've got Dr. Doug Byers here with me. And Doc, you've been listening to all this bull over here. Haven't said a peep.
I hadn't wanted to get in the
He's
middle.
He's changing
of it.
His name and address as of that after this show. And don't try his old number; it won't answer.
You remember Tom Dixon was on the show?
Yeah, I remember Tom very well.
He sent me this to give to you.
Uh-oh.
It's a Man of War's race record, which you probably have, but in any event, you probably enjoy reading some of that off.
Oh yeah.
All of his races.
Oh, yeah. Very nice, Tom. Thank you very
much.
It's
in large print, too.
Well, I'm catching hell today.
It was 1-1. Now it's changed.
Now even Doc is jumping on me. Okay. Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. I'll have a chance to look at this. And I like this. One easily drew away, easing the final 16th. Broke through the barrier in this race in the Hudson Stakes. Didn't seem to bother him. Never extended. Eased the final 16th. Eased the final 16th. Eased the final 16th. Eased the final 16th. That's the way to win them, isn't it?
Yeah, there's one down there that says one under pull.
One under a pull?
Yeah.
You couldn't pull that horse. You pull usually means you're getting beat. But under a pull. Yeah, okay. That was a jockey club.
Withers. Yeah. We have a horse at our farm that broke the track record for the Withers.
Is that right?
Williamstown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Williamstown. Yeah. Very nice horse.
Dr. Fager's record.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's a tough one to break.
I was figuring it out the other day.
The mile record? No, well, how far was it?
It's a mile.
It's a mile? The old Arlington Park record they beat?
No, that was at Belmont.
Oh, it was at Belmont. Okay. Mm-hmm. He set the world record, Dr. Fager did, at Arlington, didn't
yeah.
he? Yeah, okay. All right. But all right, Doc, here we're going again.
Right,
we're
right.
shutting you out. Just tell us to shut up and you go ahead.
Well, we're going to talk about diarrhea when you don't have diarrhea.
That's called constipation,
isn't it? Yeah, right.
Didn't constipation stand over? Oh, no, somebody.
250 life old.
All right. When you have all the clinical signs of a horse that's got enteritis or diarrhea, but he doesn't have diarrhea, we call that an atypical diarrhea. So a lot of horses will have a low-grade fever. They don't want to eat. They may dig a little bit mildly, like a little bit of colic. They have not passed much manure. And once in a while, the manure will be a little soft, but usually it's less manure than normal rather than too much. They pick at their feed. They drink maybe a little more. They'll empty a water bucket. But they just don't feel good. They're just like us, went to the wrong restaurant, you know. So anyway, you're waiting for them to go ahead and break with the diarrhea, because when the veterinarian pulls the blood work, the white count is usually low, a couple of thousand, 3,000, 3,500. We want to see 6,000 or more. Or sometimes the white count is higher than normal, which means this might have been coming on for a little while. And when you get a higher than normal white count, they're usually going to get better faster because they've got their defenses kicked into gear. The way they do that is when you recruit white cells when they're too low, they release a product from their circulation called granulocyte stimulating factor. That goes to the bone marrow and kicks out all these new ones. And sometimes you can have a horse that's over it and perfectly clinically normal, and he's got a 30,000 white cell count, and he feels fine. He feels fine. But anyway, that would be called rebound, and that's usually a good sign that they're going to get better. So they just have an infectious process. What the infection is, the definitive diagnosis probably occurs in about 40% of the horses. And people, it's not much better. It's hard to find the culprit. And we know that Salmonella can do it. Salmonella can also give us severe diarrhea. But as an atypical enteritis, Salmonella is on your list. You ought to culture them. And you're reading your culture them, and you're not going to change much by doing that other than to know what you've got in the barn. Mm-hmm. So you have to have some precautions there. Potomac horse fever is the same thing. It may or may not have diarrhea, and when it doesn't, it's an atypical enteritis. With Potomac fever, there's a little more tendency, not much, but a little more tendency to get laminitis with it. So you need to watch their feet and see what's going on. And, of course, to diagnose that, you're going to run titers or different testing down here at the diagnostic lab. But in any event, what you're going to do to treat them is you can use antibiotics or not. In other words, if his heart rate is in the 40s and the membranes are not toxic, and you're pretty sure this is what's going on, a lot of times they'll sort themselves out. You can put them on a probiotic to kind of compete with, you know, the lactobacillus type stuff, compete with these abnormal bugs. And be sure and give them an electrolyte water bucket and a fresh water bucket to choose from. I think I've said before on here that the horses are the deaf mute. So if you see them sucking down that electrolyte water, which they don't really want, normally they don't want it. It's like us getting up in the morning and saying, I want a Gatorade. You know, we've got to be craving it in one way or another.
Yeah.
So that tells you when they quit doing that and just go to their fresh water, it tells you they're getting better. Salt block. Salt holds water. And these horses have a problem in that holding water, they lose protein. So salt draws water. We said where so goes sodium, so goes water. And With proteins, they have, instead of an osmotic gradient or pressure, when you were in high school, you remember high school, they put the salt in they had a fish tank divided in two with a membrane, put more salt on one side, and it sucks the water out of the other side, so it crosses that membrane. With protein, these horses lose protein through the bowel. So they sometimes can get an edematous jowl, or they get edema under their belly, and you can take your finger and push on that edema, and it pits. We call that a pitting edema. Well, the protein is like putting a beefsteak on an eye after a fight. You've got this big hematoma. Well, the beefsteak has got more protein in it than the edema of the eye, so it sucks the fluid out or the edema out and draws it.
Really works, huh?
It really works. Yeah. So if you don't have protein in your bloodstream, but you still have your muscle and your tissue out there, that's where you get edema. It starts to leak out of your bloodstream from the bowel insult where they've lost this protein, and then you get edema because it, like I say, it draws it, and that's the oncotic pressure that we get. So when the proteins start coming up in these horses, and they're back to eating and drinking, they're going to do fine. They're just basically have a good prognosis. Again, we diagnose about 40%. Sometimes we know what the diagnosis is because we've had them on antibiotics for a respiratory problem for a week. Uh-huh. And then they get antibiotic-induced enteritis or diarrhea, one of the two. And so we just know that has induced it. And so and most of the veterinarians will use drugs like penicillin and genicin, which don't affect the bowel much at all. That's the safest route to take. But they also don't penetrate the tissues very well. So a lot of times they're trying to get a lung problem under control, and they'll switch over to Naxil or something like that and then get this bowel problem, and that would be a follow-up to using the antibiotics. Again, the general prognosis is good. We're talking about 7 to 10 days, and if they get over it and they'll bounce back, the blood work will adjust back toward normal, and then you go right on and lightly start training them again. If it becomes a chronic situation where they're not bouncing back and they have lost a lot of weight and they're 2 to 4 weeks not being right, and I got a horse I'm going to look at on Tuesday with this kind of a problem, then you do further diagnostics to see if they haven't picked up something even more of a problem. Further diagnosis would be a rectal biopsy to look at the tissue and see what's going on in there. And then there are drugs like one drug called misoprostol, which really helps the lining heal from the mouth to the anus. And so you put them on that kind of a drug for a long time. And when I say a long time, usually a month. And not cost prohibitive, but there is some expense involved. But they generally still have a good prognosis. They just take longer to come around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
All right.
Very good. Use those big words.
I love it. It's the learning part of the show. It's like the old Ed Sullivan show. We've got some acts for everything.
Right.
He's the opera guy.
He's the opera guy?
Yeah, the opera guy.
Right. What are you?
Class, we don't want to go you're there.
You're the juggler or something?
Whatever it is.
Okay.
It fills out the program.
Yeah. All righty. Well, you want to plug your show tonight, the thing again tonight?
Yes. Yeah. It's at the Seal Bach Hotel. There's a few spots still available. Tickets are $100. You can buy them at the door. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have all kinds of bourbons to taste, all kinds of items up for auction, and really, I have to say this to some really, really nice people are going to be there, so you meet a lot of nice people.
That's great. Yeah. Wish I could be there.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I know it's past your bedtime. It starts at 6.
Yeah, gee whiz, I didn't even.
Hey, you know something? I got to say this real quick. Okay, quick. I've been going through all these old blood horses and thoroughbred times from 1994 and 1995 because we can't store all of them, but I've taken out all the articles that are written that might be interesting. I found one where Dr. Bias was talking about his diagnosis of Sardula. I find all these, you know, wonderful articles. So what I realized that if we had our farm in 1994, it would be the greatest operation in the history of horse racing.
Oh.
We had the top sire, Jade Hunter.
Yeah.
On the list of the thoroughbred list of top runners, we had the Wicked North was on top. Phrase was like third.
Yeah, he is.
I mean,
yeah.
I went through the list. I said, "Holy mackerel! There's millions and millions of dollars here. Why do I only have 86 cents in the bank?"
Yeah.
You know, timing's everything in life.
Yeah, right.
I'm too old. They're too old.
Oh, well.
But you make me feel young.
Well, see, I'm good for something, man.
I wish this was a TV show, just to see you guys spar.
No, it's bad enough listening to it. We both got faces for radio.
Crystal,
you know.
Radios.
Yeah, right.
Thank you so much, Ursula.
All right.
You can come tonight.
See
you, Ursula. The weather's going to be nice tomorrow. It's come out for a tour at Old Friends. You know, it's a great time, yeah, to get around and see him.
All right.
Thank you so much,
all right,
Ursula.
Talk to you a little bit later. Well, February 17th at Aqueduct, Expression, a 3-0 fill in the first crop by Invisor, posted an impressive win and a $51,000 optional claimer. Now, she wasn't in for the tag. Too nice a filly for that. She bumped at the break and did last at the half-mile pole. Expression closed from 3.5 lengths back at the 8th pole to win, displaying the same courage and will to win that her sire was noted for. This is a filly looking for a distance of ground. She'd come from off the pace to break her maiden by 7 lengths on January 11th at Aqueduct, with both wins coming at 6 furlongs. Expression is one of 14 runners from the first crop by Invisor to win her place, a list which includes a multiple stakes winner, Colt, stakes winning Colt, Midnight Vader. Horse of the Year Invisor, twice ranked second in the world and winner of 6 consecutive Grade 1 stakes, an unprecedented feat. Won both the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic and the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup on his way to earnings of more than $7,804,000. One of 2 Eclipse Award winners by Candy Stripes, Invisor stands for $20,000 life old at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is brisnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer staff, detailed pedigree data, risk class, pace, and speed rating, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaways. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover brisnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, Distorted Humor, according to stats published in the Blood Horse, was the leading sire in North America last year. He was ranked among the nation's top 10 leading sires 6 times. And he sired the winners of all 3 Triple Crown races. Most recent classic winner is Drosselmeyer, winner of the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in 2010. Drosselmeyer returned last year to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic to join champion sire A.P. Indy as one of only 2 winners of those 2 famous races. He retired with career earnings of $3,728,170. And he's the leading money winner among the more than 100 stakes winners sired by Distorted Humor. A superb individual. He was a $600,000 sales yearling. Drosselmeyer is out of the multiple Grade 1 stakes winner Golden Ballet, winner of the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks, the Grade 1 Las Virgines, and of over $732,000. Drosselmeyer standing his first season at stud this year for $17,500, due in the full stands of nurses with a 5% discount if paid by November 1. If you're looking for a classic winner, a classic performance, well, go to a horse that gets the job done, and that would be Drosselmeyer. Jerry Duffy and Jenny Barnett are the people who to contact over at Windstar Farm. The number is 873-1717, and ask about Drosselmeyer. The website is windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, we were talking a little bit earlier about Brownie Leach, and he was quite a character. He was a writer and was a publicity director at Churchill Downs, and Joe Palmer wrote a column about Mr. Leach, and I'm going to read it because they brought it up, and that'll show them. It's called The Good, The True, and Mr. Leach. Well, the tropical serenity of this winter fairyland, this was a byline down in Miami, Florida. The tropical serenity of this winter fairyland was brusquely disturbed last week by the arrival from Kentucky of Mr. George Brownie Leach. Mr. Leach directs the publicity relations of Churchill Downs, and a part of his mission was to advise one and all that the Kentucky Derby will be run on the first Saturday of next May, and to give turf riders preliminary training for it. The date of the Derby is correct, but no one should be misled by this. Mr. Leach has a great respect for the truth and uses it sparingly. There was a time, for instance, away before Pearl Harbor, when his family was dozing contentedly through Beethoven 6, our pastoral symphony on a Sunday afternoon, when the music was interrupted by the announcement that fighting had broken out on the streets of Washington. The Army and Navy forces and such Marines as were available were fighting from behind barricades, but were slowly being pressed back to a scant perimeter around the White House. A little later, a breathless announcement was made that a train bearing reinforcements from Fort Dix had been derailed by insurgents in Philadelphia. There was a considerable to-do and call-in of neighbors and telephoning to the newspapers before it was discovered that Mr. Leach had hooked a microphone into the loudspeaker of the radio and was in the basement, drawing on an imagination which has never yet been caught overdrawn, though great demands have been made of it. There was another case when Mr. Leach was walking peacefully down the street with an acquaintance, a merchant who was normally restrained, suddenly opened the door of his establishment, stuck his head out, and said, "Mr. Leach, you lying SOB." Then he closed the door and went about his business. This was because Mr. Leach had been invited the day before to speak to the Lions Club. He had explained that Keenan, having pioneered the totalizator in Kentucky and made the first experiment with a non-profit racing organization, had now embarked on another first in racing. It had set a steam pipe about 5 inches below the top level of the racing strip and was prepared to make a wet track into a fast one within 2 hours of the falling of the last raindrop. There was some skepticism abroad at first, but Mr. Leach began to smother the company under figures about the amount of pipe used, the number of elbow joints and T-joints used, and incredulity began to die. The amount of steam necessary to dry the track, he said, would pull a 10-car train from Cincinnati to Orleans and back as far as Chattanooga. Some of the Lions were as much as 3 days realizing that they'd been sold a pup. But Mr. Leach's most skillful triumph over veracity was on a trip from Lexington to New York on a train called the George Washington, named for a man who could not tell a lie, but frequently ridden by people who can. While Mr. Leach's attention was engaged elsewhere, the train went surreptitiously. I don't know. Anyway, went through there real quick. Out of Kentucky into West Virginia. I can't pronounce that word. A state inhabited by the Kanawha Valley and prohibitionists, where no liquor can be sold on trains, unless you count beer. And who does? Not our hero, at any rate. He chose his weapon, which was a dull magazine, and went into the club car. He seated himself next to two couples who were trying to see what was at the bottom of a pair of bottles, and began to read industriously about bird life in the Aleutians. The company became increasingly convivial, so much so that one of the gentlemen was moved to ask Mr. Leach if they were disturbing him. He said no, that aside from losing his place a couple of times, he had not been bothered at all. There was some further conversation, and this elicited the information that Mr. Leach had been newly graduated from the College of the Bible at Transylvania, and had been ordained, and was on his way to his first parsonage in Charlottesville. The celebrants were somewhat abashed, as most people are when they discover a member of the third sex among them, and hoped that they had not given any offense to the cloth. It turned out that Mr. Leach was a broad-minded clergyman. He said that as far as he could see, the group had merely been laughing and having fun, that the conversation, while occasionally tart, had been within proper bounds, and that it could see nothing reprehensible about the occasion. This was appreciated, and activities on a more moderate scale were resumed. With somewhat longer acquaintance, Mr. Leach confessed to a long-standing curiosity about alcohol. It had always been banned, if not actually abhorred, in his family, and, of course, all of his ministerial training set him against it. Many of his colleagues, he said, were fanatic about it, and yet he had known people who drank who were very pleasant people. The attraction it had for its devotees had always baffled him a little. In fact, he admitted, shamefacedly, I've sometimes been tempted to try it, just to see what effect it has. There's nothing brightens a long train journey like getting a preacher drunk. So one of the party shoved the bottle over. Go ahead and help yourself, he said. Mr. Leach shied away from it like a coat from a flapping paper on the track. I guess I couldn't, he said doubtfully. The bottle continued to fascinate him, as a snake is supposed to do with a dove. He put forth a hand and then withdrew it. Finally, he steeled himself. After all, he said, we don't know each other. Tomorrow you'll be in New York, and I'll be in Charlottesville, and the chances are we'll never see each other again. If I'm ever going to try it, now is the time. With what seemed inexperience, he filled a tumbler half full, amid covert smiles and nudgings from the four. I need not detain you with the rest of the story. Picture to yourself four persons journeying liquorless through West Virginia, happy in the belief that they had done something naughty, and Mr. Leach retiring contentedly to his roomette, secure in the knowledge that the job had been done. That was Joe Palmer writing one of his great columns.
That was great.
Even if I couldn't pronounce some of those words today. I have to go home and practice. All right, I'm going to do a take care of my good friends over at Spendthrift Farm, where they've got two nice sons of Tisnow standing over there. Of course, Tisnow is noted for siring the big horse. Just last Saturday, Ella Fitz, a five-year-old mare, but Tisnow won a grade two $200,000 Santa Maria Stakes out at Santa Anita. And two of Tisnow's big horses, Tisway and Tis Wonderful, are at studded Spendthrift Farm. Tisway, in 2011, won the Grade 1 $750,000 Whitney Invitational and the Grade 1 $750,000 Metropolitan Handicap. His time in the historic Metropolitan, a race first run in 1891, was 1:32.4, and that was the second fastest ever recorded. Tisnow has sired eight Grade 1 stakes winners, but the only one to win multiple Grade 1 stakes on dirt is Tisway, retired with earnings of over $1,359,000. Tisway is standing his first season at stud this year. Tis Wonderful, a multiple graded stakes winner and undefeated at two, is Tisnow's most precocious son at stud. In 2011, he was the sire 13 first crop yearlings to bring $75,000 or more, so he is siring the big horse in the sales arena. Tis Wonderful stands for $12,500 due in a full stands and nurses, and Tisway's fee is $25,000 due in a full stands and nurses. Ask about breeding incentives. Just contact Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Fell or Ned Toffee. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Run, old Molly, run, old Molly, run.
I've got 7 minutes, a man told me. If I got time, I haven't got time to do Tim Tam. That's going to take this, a change from 2-year-old.
You know this blood horse he gave us?
Yeah.
A horse named Peace Chance. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Stood out at Homewood Farm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where we used to live. It's kind of fun.
What's this C.B. Whitney here?
But they owned horses
Yeah, Mr. R.M. Young, Homewood Farm, Lexington.
Yeah.
Peace Chance, on a chance shot. $100.
Yeah.
Return. They didn't list live foal then. No, here's one live foal. You just get a shot back with this one.
Uh-huh.
My mood was $1,000.
Oh, there's a couple in there that were, one was 2000, I think. Well, that's my mood on the front.
Yeah. But, take it in the snow. Of course, it's buried right over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
This is great. This
almost
is
see
fun.
The graveyard from where we're sitting, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sickle was 1,500.
Yeah, he was a leading sire, too.
And Bimelech was 1,000. Blue Larkspur was 750.
Yeah.
Me Now was 1,000.
Oh, my goodness. Beaumont Farm.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
Mattel
real
Price Healy. Who else did he have? He had Fairmont out there, too. Beaumont.
Oh, yeah, Fairmont and Sir Damien. I don't know Sir Damien.
Oh, well, I've heard of him. He was a Sir Galahad, I think he was. Yeah, he was a Sir Galahad.
Yeah, this is fun. Mirworth had display, aerial. That family just now sell that farm, I think.
I don't know if the family's gone. I know his daughter died.
Yeah, I think it's finally sold.
Oh. They had a lot of land out there.
Blenheim II was $2,500. That's the biggest fee I've seen.
He was a Claiborne.
Yeah, and Sir Galahad.
But he was a Claiborne.
Yeah, they're the biggies.
And one that I never knew how to pronounce is either Tintagel or Tintagel.
Which it's Tintagel.
Is
I
it Tintagel?
Any amount of money.
Yeah, was he or Sir Galahad also?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought he was, yeah. She's reading this thing over here, isn't he?
Yeah, this is just fun. This is such a great book because of the ads. You know.
Who was the publisher at that time? Was Mr. Esses? Here, let me have to look at
it. Take a look at it. That's just a fun
She doesn't know how to read a magazine. Let's see. Published by the American Thoroughbred Breeders Association. And let's see who the editor was back in 1941. And it's the American... this is American Thoroughbred Association. John Hay Whitney, president. A.B. Hancock, vice president. Louis A. Beard, treasurer. Joe Esther, secretary. I think he was probably... here's Brownie Leach, advertising manager.
Yes, I was going to point that out.
Joe Palmer, associate editor and business manager. And
before he went to New York.
Joe Estes was the editor.
Yeah, isn't that great, doesn't
it? Joe Estes was the gentleman who devised the average earnings index.
You love.
Oh, yeah, I use that a lot. You know, it tells you a lot. You have to have a good sampling of it, though, you know, for a stud.
Right.
You know, you can't do it on one or two crops. They have to have enough representation out there. And one horse can distort it.
Yeah.
If you have... horses got maybe 100 foals running, and one of them has won $3 million or something like that, and they can distort the average earnings index. But it's a great tool, and
it's just that magazine. Then just a little bit bigger.
Here's Mr. Tom Pyatt. Brookdale Farm. He stood good goods. The son of Nettie. He said transmute by broomstick. Chance son. Epithet was by Epinard, and Matic was by Bostonian. He was free to approve mares. Epithet was $150.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them in there.
Boy,
free.
That's an old pedigree. But by Epinard out of Fairy Wand by Starshoot, Epithet was. Good Lord.
Look at here at Almahurst.
Almahurst Farm, that's Henry Knight. He had Galahadi, and of course the 1940 Kentucky Derby winner that... three-million stud, Carter Thornton, had sold him as a yearling. And I believe he was a Tennessee bred. I'm pretty sure that's right. But anyway, he sold him. Of course, he was a Sir Galahad also.
Somewhere in there, Nez Rula was getting ready for the Derby.
Easy Mon was there. And Nez Rula, he was abroad. You know, he was in Europe.
Maybe he was getting ready for the English.
But he didn't win it. Let's see who else we've got here. Here's Marchmont Farm. That's, of course, part of Claiborne now. That was Mr. Charlton Clay. He had all those good fillies that he bred down there. And Elmerhurst stood a ladies' man who was by Pompey. Real mean horse. Here's Claiborne and Elsley Stallions, which means these were some of them in Virginia. Yeah.
And these are the two in Virginia, I think, Hardtack and Stimulus. Ellerslie.
Yeah, stand in Charlottesville, Virginia. Yes. Huh. Stimulus and Hardtack. Hardtack, of course, the sire of Seabiscuit. Not much else. Pompey was 250. And Tintagel was $150. Jacopo. Well, anyway, I'm running out of time. I'd sit and look at this thing all day. It really brings a lot of memories. This scene shifter, Count Galahad and Recount.
These farms, C.V. Whitney Farms in there.
Yeah.
That used to be here.
Well, right. Okay, well, we'll be on at the regular time next week. And what's that website? UrsulaEllis.com?
Yeah.
A new website you can go and...
UrsulaEllis.com, and it'll be up this afternoon if the house doesn't burn down.
So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.